At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hey, babe.
Hi, babe.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a second.
It has been a second. That's okay.
Were you kicking off some cobweb dust there for a second?
I don't know.
Okay. No, yeah. I like.
Yeah. As yeah.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
I'm just watching.
Yeah. No, I know. I think in my mind, it's like, again, it's, I know we talked about it a little bit before we hit record, but it's like, we've talked about so many, we've talked about so many things and the fact that it's been almost a month since we put out an episode.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden it was like, I had so many thoughts running through my head and I'm like.
All at one time.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's like, I need to figure out how to like, condense this into like one thought for one episode.
Yeah. Because
I know we don't want to be those people that just ramble.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So
where have we been?
Where have we been?
Let's see. So July 9th is, you said, the last time that we were here.
Yeah.
So we had just gotten home
from Texas.
Texas from a family reunion / 4th of July.
Yeah.
And then we've just kind of hit the ground running. We have a project in the making as we speak. Next week we get to do something pretty cool that we get to maybe talk about like in more detail and not be cryptic.
Yes.
But we've been really focused in on kind of the behind the scenes of things. We've been also getting caught up in, caught up on, I am going to be doing full time, long term
sub
for a librarian for Sebastian's school.
Yep.
So that'll be a good solid at least 4 months, if not longer, depending. So I've been, it's one of our friends beautifully summed it up for us one day. And she said, I just see you and Luke in this space of rest. And as much as life is changing, because again, you're in a new space and position at your job.
Yeah.
And we've been offered, other positions to do other things that we've had to decline at this point, just simply because number one,
stuff.
It was volunteer stuff. Yeah. It was just, you know, would you potentially like to do something? Right.
Yeah.
And we were like, we would love to do something. But we don't believe that that's the season that we're in and that, and we believe that just, I don't know. I think a lot of it is when you're standing at that cusp, I call it like the river's edge, right? That cusp. And you and I have been doing our absolute best to, not perfect, but our best to genuinely follow the Holy Spirit's lead in every aspect of this. Have we dropped the ball on certain things along the way? Absolutely. But I would say for the most part, we try to do our best to just, okay, God, we're going to walk this direction. We're going to do this. You're going to give us wisdom. You're going to show us the next step. And it's like it feels like we're building that foundation still. But now the foundation is pretty built, and now it's like, he's like, okay, cool. Now let's go ahead and work on the first floor, and then let's just start.
Yeah, going. It does. It feels like it does. It's, you know, it's kind of like I told you earlier, you know, like with a lot of the stuff that we've been through, it's like, we know the goodness of God. We know the power of God. We know, you know, all the good things of God, you know, the restoration, the healing, the empowerment, the everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've experienced enough in our lives, witnessed enough in our lives, in our marriage, that we don't have to knock on every door of every situation and say, okay, God, are you still the same God over here? God, are you the same God over here?
Come on.
God, are you the same God over here? It's like, no, we already know.
We know who you are.
You know, we don't have to all of a sudden become a hardcore drug addict for us to say, okay, well, we need to walk through this as a couple to make sure God is still the same God.
Right. No, God is God.
You know?
God is God.
So it's like, knowing that and standing on that, it's like, okay, that's our foundation.
Yeah.
You know, we feel like we've done the things that have been asked of us.
Yeah.
You know, we started the podcast. We've gotten better at communicating our thoughts and hey, here's a good idea. Hey, here might be a good idea for some people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it didn't work for us or didn't work for them, but it, you know, some people it works for.
Right.
You know, we could get better about like recommending books or sections of books, but you know, and then it was like, you know, we started Firm Footing and it's like, so it's like, I think the way I see it, it's like, we've got the foundation down.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've shown God, we will say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we will say yes as long as you're asking.
Yeah. Cause I had had coffee with a absolutely precious friend today, and we determined that it literally had been, October of November, sometime of last year was the last time we hung out.
Yeah.
And she's one of those friends that we text each other or just holler at each other enough to where it's like, we haven't seen each other in forever, but the moment that we see each other, we pick right back up again. Right. And she's like, so what's going on? And, I caught her up on what was happening in our lives and what was, you know, just the things.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, those moments where you stand back and you say, okay, God, like there's hundreds, if not thousands of relationship coaches, and there's these people that have these marriage podcasts, or they have these things, right, that they do. Why us? Why are we, why, like, what do we have to bring to the party? And I said, and it's not necessarily that we're saying that nobody else is, but like, why are you having us do this? And she says, did you get an answer? And I said, I got an answer on Tuesday night when we did our last marriage supplement talk with a group of couples. And I said, and then we had told these couples, okay, what are you saying over your spouse, right? What are you speaking? What are you declaring? Things of that nature. Now we want you to take that time and do it right now. Like right now. Like we're not saying like you get to go home and do homework, because we've already found out that some of them just, they don't do homework.
Yeah.
But it's like, right now, you guys can even walk away, you know, or go move around the room so you're not sitting here awkwardly with other couples around you. And just speak goodness. Maybe tell them how much you appreciate them or just whatever. I said, Luke turns, looks at me. And he said, and I was telling her this, I said, you said, babe, I think the thing that is different with us is we don't tell anybody anything that we ourselves have not already done.
Yeah.
And
Live the talk.
We live the talk. Yeah. I think you even wrote it down or something. You're like, we live the talk. And I was like, we know other couples do this. Again, we're not an anomaly.
Yeah. No.
There's nothing super spiritually different or amazing about us. we're willing to have the hard conversations, and we're willing to live the talk. We're willing to, okay, look at each other awkwardly in the eyes if you have to. Do whatever you got to do. Like, we're not asking you guys to do something that we're not asking ourselves to do at this point. And so whenever you and I were talking today, and I was just kind of telling you how our talk went and just spending time and stuff. So I was telling you about one of the statements that her and I made together, and then you kind of expounded on it. And so this is what I'm thinking would be a really good thing for us to talk about right now.
Yeah.
And you said, because we're talking about the place of lukewarmness, that if in the Word of God it says you either you're hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, which means you could kind of take or leave God or whatever, right? He's just going to spew you out of his mouth. Yeah. He'd rather be able to get you in a place where he can reach you, where he can either convict you or, you know, bring forth something into your life, or you're in hot pursuit of God anyway, right? You're either at the space of, oh my gosh, I need God.
Yeah.
Or, man, I got God and we're growing. Let's run and let's go hard and let's do the things.
Yeah.
But if you live in that land of in between, and we've even talked about it, like, he can get you into the place of lukewarmness even without being a Christian. Because one of your favorite things was, well, I'm a good person. I'm not doing anything to harm anybody.
Yeah.
While you're living in your paganism and doing whatever you were doing, right? So you acknowledge that there was God or a God.
Yeah.
But you were still very much in that space, but it wasn't until all of a sudden, here we are, God, let's, kind of scenario. You're at the lowest of the spaces.
Yeah.
And so your statement is this: Satan doesn't have to have you loyal to him. He just needs you to question your loyalty to God. And it's the same with marriage. Is he having you question the covenant that you made in your marriage?
No, it is. Because, you know, we've talked about it. I don't know if necessarily we've talked about it here, but, you know, again, it's, I've often heard that, you know, the battle between God and Satan for people is a battle of loyalty.
Yes.
You know, and it's not necessarily Satan is trying to win you to his side. He just wants you to
question God.
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden I heard or saw a visual once. It was like a story, and it was like, imagine two properties.
Mm-hmm.
One side God owns, the other side Satan owns.
Yeah.
And a man just sat on the fence, and eventually at the end of time, Satan comes up to the man and says, I need you to come with me. And he's like, but I never chose a side. And Satan says, yeah, I own the fence.
Dang.
You know?
Dang.
I mean, I think it was more than that, but I mean, that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Satan owns the fence.
Yeah. He lives in the land of compromise.
Yeah.
He lives in the land of lukewarmness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, and when I said, you know, it's a question of, you know, even loyalty to your covenant. It's,
yeah.
Satan doesn't necessarily have to say, oh, hey, look at that pretty girl over there, or, you know, think of this affair or that you could have over there. It's, does your spouse really love you like that?
Mm.
Does your spouse care for you like they
care? Come on, babe. Yeah.
You know, do they really have your back? If you open up, are they really going to be supportive? If you didn't provide X, Y, and Z, would they really be here for you?
Dang.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, these are real.
Yeah.
These are real conversations.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're 100% voices from the enemy.
Yeah.
Of that get planted in the heads of spouses.
Wow. So what do we do about this? Because I know that this I hear what you're saying as far as the several conversations that we've had over the last several days. And I do believe that every one of them ties into this very much so, because it boils down to covenant.
Yeah.
If the enemy can even remotely get you questioning where your loyalty is. Maybe not even necessarily where is your spouse's loyalty, but where is your loyalty?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, they should be better by now, or they should, you know, they should have done XYZ by now, or, you know, or, well, I don't really need them. I can make it without them and be successful and be fine.
Do they care about more about our kids than they do me?
You know, like all, like just kind of all of the things. And it's, they're all tricks.
Yes.
They're all lies. Are there going to be times where you stand back and you go, okay, there might actually be some truth to that. Okay. This person right now, this is, they're in a space.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you do about it? What do you do about it if all of a sudden you see maybe the loyalty of your spouse swaying somewhere or weighing away?
Yeah. What?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What do? You start seeking out God. You start finding out maybe, what is it? You and I always said, okay, I could be 99.9% wrong, right?
Yes.
And you could be the 0.1%. Ultimately, you have to own your 0.1%.
Yeah.
And and instead of this, you should be mentality and us pointing fingers at each other and saying, you know, well, I know I could be getting better here, but you should be doing whatever. Then I think once you start doing the name game, the blaming, the pointing of the fingers, you start rocking and that covenant, that loyalty, it starts kind of fading away.
And kind of like what you were saying is, you know, even the whole, you know, running down the list of, well, I've done this, I've done this,
right.
I've done this, I've done this.
Gosh, that's gross.
And kind of not along those lines, but adjacent to those lines, something that I know that I said yesterday, you know, again, if, let's say there is something going on in your marriage. Let's say you're working on 99% of the issue, and I'm working on 1% of the issue. Congratulations, you both are working on the issue. You are both still a team on this. You
Amen.
Know? And you know, again, I kind of think back to, you know, when we had Kayla and Hunter.
I was about
here.
To say the same thing.
You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I got 5.
I got 5%. That's it.
Sweet. I got your 95.
Yeah.
You know, again, because there are going to be days where I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You're exhausted.
Yeah.
But we're still going to work on stuff together.
Right.
You know, we still want to come to the table and say, okay, here's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, here are some of the things, here are some of the projects that need to get completed for our family, for our home, for our marriage. You know, are they fun? Not always. Do we want to do them? Not always. You know, again, the difference between motivation and discipline.
Right.
You know, but it is. It's at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
We choose.
Yes.
We choose this marriage. We choose this covenant. We choose our spouses. We choose. Ultimately, we choose the steps we take.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there are going to be days where I'm going to be dragging, but I'm still going to do my best to take those steps.
Yeah.
There are days you're going to be dragging. You know,
today
the other
feels
day,
like one of them.
I was about to say the other day you were dragging.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But you,
oh bad.
But you,
yeah.
Made, but you took steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's holding ground.
Yeah.
Let's just have a conversation about that, because I think too many times, holding ground, or maybe even okay, so you didn't achieve everything you wanted to achieve, or maybe even it's, hey, you know what? I wanted to go get that drink and I didn't.
Yeah.
I literally rolled up into the parking lot. I was there and then I didn't. Like, and then I rolled away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, or, you were going to pick up that phone and dial that person and you didn't, you know. But I think a lot of it is even holding the ground or looking at your spouse and saying, hey, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I'm struggling today. This is what's going on. We've had a couple of friends now that have been on the podcast with us that have talked about pornography alone, right? Yeah. And it's just like, who are you going to be for your spouse in that space? You know, how are you going to help safeguard them in when you're not there?
Yeah.
What are you going to help them with? Are you going to, oh, see, I left, they took off, and yeah. then they the cat's away, so the mouse is going to play, and you want to go, why would you even have that kind of mentality?
Yeah.
You want to speak life. You want to remind your spouse that, hey, I'm a safe space.
Yeah.
I'm a safe space for you to call. And if you don't feel like you can call me, then maybe have two or three that you can maybe potentially call. If one doesn't answer, maybe another one will, or another one will, right? Like, do whatever you got to do to safeguard yourself in that space. And you being a Christian isn't determined by the struggle.
Yeah.
Like, you being a Christian is determined by you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, period. And you're going to have struggles because we have an enemy that's a punk.
Yeah.
And he knows what kind of buttons that there are or were or potentially could be.
Yeah.
And our job with our spouses is we get to be these people. We get to be your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
We get to be the one that says, you know what? I don't like you right now. It's kind of hard.
Yep.
But I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And if you're the spouse that's like, well, I don't even really want to say that. Okay. If you're starting to see, like, not necessarily the red flags, but if you're starting to see where there's struggles, where you're, where, or maybe you're starting to hear when you speak or read what you've texted or talked and said, wow, would I want somebody to respond to me like that? I need to know that my spouse has my back, and my spouse needs to know that I have theirs.
Yeah.
That this is for better or for worse. And sometimes, dear, dear, sweet friends, that worse gets really, really, really worse.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it gets bad.
Yeah.
But are you going to stick with the covenant? Are you going to stick with your loyalty? Are you going to say, I don't know how to proceed from here, but we're going to anchor down. We're going to pursue God. We're going to grab hold of that peace, and we're going to ask him how to get out of this. And it's that it's so funny because it's like, who was it somebody said to me yesterday? You know, well, they always say, like, you know, marriage is, you know, people say, well, marriage is hard, or it shouldn't be this hard, or something like that. We say that marriage shouldn't be this hard. And when we say marriage shouldn't be this hard, we're not saying that it's not. It is hard.
Yeah.
It's going to come with struggles. What shouldn't be this hard is, hey, babe, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it, there should be some very solid anchors in place in your marriage.
Yeah.
Some presets.
Making that choice.
Yep.
To remember your covenant.
If I gain 150 pounds and I'm looking at you and I'm like, I don't feel very attractive right now, babe. I don't feel very good. I don't, all the things, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, you're not going to, there should be an assurance inside of me that has been built by you that says, even if I'm not feeling my best right now, my spouse isn't leaving me. I think of my brother and sister-in-law.
Yeah.
My brother had colon cancer and has had numerous things happen to him since then that have been effects of. And my sister-in-law has not that I am aware of, not one time has she thought, that's it, this is too much, we're done.
Yeah.
Like, well, of course not, because it's a disease. Hi, so is alcoholism. Hi, so is drug addiction. Hi, so is porn. So is all these things.
Yeah.
Not so much that it's a disease, but hi, this is a stronghold.
Yeah.
This is something that is literally trying to consume my loved one right now. Why on earth am I not fighting tooth and nail just like I would if anything else of that nature was trying to come at you?
Yeah.
Like Tuesday night, I think when you and I were praying for the couples, and it's those moments where, like, take off the earrings. This is what we're doing. Like, I'm fighting for you. I'm not fighting against you.
Yeah.
I'm fighting with you.
Yeah.
Against the opposition.
Yeah.
Against the thing that's trying to take me out potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like mental health, physical health, spiritual health, all of it. Like, why are we putting limitations on each other's disabilities? Not even disabilities, but maybe weaknesses, just these moments.
Yeah.
Why are we putting limitations of, oh, well, I'll fight for you here, but, you know, I'm not going to fight for you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Bull poopy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because it is. It's, you know, I do. I feel like I keep saying it and keep reiterating it. It is. It's that choice. It's that, you know, we all stood before God, our family, and everybody,
mm-hmm.
and said, I choose you.
Yeah.
I want to be here.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, I want to be here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, stuff happens, and it's like, do you really want to be here? You know, and it's, you know, again, we can look back at our marriage and, you know, within the first month of us getting married, I got like my feet knocked out from under me, you know, like
bad.
Between depression and like all sorts of physical attacks.
You were literally bent over in half.
Yeah.
You could not even stand up straight.
No, I couldn't do anything. Mm-mm. I couldn't even hold like a bottle of water in
Mm-mm.
my hand.
It was rough.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was, and it was literally, and I'm sure we've told this story before, but it was literally me walking up the stairs and going, God, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit literally said, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like the audacity.
Yeah.
The audacity for me to put, oh, as long as it's perfect, babe,
right.
I'm in this.
Right.
Oh, but you know, once it gets hard, once all of a sudden your struggle just gets to be where it's just too much and it just pisses me off all the time.
Yeah.
What? How about you use that pissed off attitude for good?
Yeah.
And not evil. Because listen. Ugh. This is the part that infuriates me. And this is the part that I want to look at wives and husbands, but I'm the wife, right?
Yeah.
I wanna say there is nothing in this world that you would not do knowing that I am standing behind you and going, babe, go, run, hard. You got this. I believe in you.
Yeah.
You are King Kong on cocaine. You can do anything you want to. I've got the biggest faith. This will not take you down.
Yeah.
I know who you are. I start speaking into your destiny. I start speaking into that spirit man of yours. I start speaking to the man that, of God that you are now.
Yeah.
Not the one that I think needs to be happening, but the one is now.
Yeah.
The person that I married, the person that I know, right? Not talking, like, you are going to be, you're not going to lay down to that thing.
No.
It is going to actually give you more fuel to help fight it.
Yeah.
So why? Why on earth? It's like, if I was going through some serious, and I have.
Yeah.
Some mental health, physical health, right? I'm depressed. My body is doing whatever the heck it wants to in this moment, right? And if you were to look at me and say, you know what, babe, it's fine. Just, you know, if you would just buck up, if you just try a little bit harder, if you would just, you know, if you would just run on the treadmill just a little bit longer and maybe eat less caramel.
Just calm down and put a smile on your face.
Just calm down. You're fine. It's fine.
Be happy.
Why are you getting so erratic right now? Why are you upset? Instead, you put your arms around me.
Yeah.
You help silence the noise.
Yeah.
You remind me that I'm not by myself, that I'm not losing my mind. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and then you remind me, I'm right here. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. When we are those people to each other, right? Like, obviously, know your person. What do they need?
Yeah.
Because some days you're the one that needs to be held and I'm the one that needs the cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right? But knowing, sitting long enough, even if it's, I don't know what they need, then say, hey, babe.
Yeah.
What do you need from me, right? Do you even know what you need from me right now? Yeah. You don't know what you need? Okay. Hey, I'm right here.
Yeah.
If you want me to hold you, I'll hold you. Mm-hmm. It's like literally talking to our daughter.
Yeah.
Who does not like to be held, but wants to be held, but she doesn't want to be held, but right. She wants to be held.
Yes.
And to be reminded that she's pretty and she's smart and she can do hard things.
Yes.
Same with our boy, right? He's in that vein where he has no problem hugging and being held by you. Mom, it's a little weird right now.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not mad. It's fine. But it's know your person, know what they need. Yeah. Ask the Holy Spirit.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
To guide you, give you direction.
And on those days where you both need to be held.
Dang. Yeah.
You go arm in arm and you limp forward.
Yeah. Come on.
Or you just arm in arm and you stand.
That scripture. When the enemy rushes in. I love this. I had a pastor that did this one day. Because in the word of God, it says when the enemy rushes in like a flood, right? God will raise up a standard against him. He says, where's the comma in there? And I was like, what do you mean, where's the comma? And it's like, where's the comma in there? Because if you put the comma or the pause in a different place, when the enemy rushes in, comma, like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him.
Yeah.
So when the enemy rushes in, not like a flood.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like a flood.
Yeah.
God is still going to raise up his standard against them.
Like a flood.
Like a flood. Greater, right? Greater measure. When the enemy comes in one way, he has to flee, what, seven different ways?
Yeah.
Right? Go into your scripture. Find out where these things are. See where it is that you can start fighting from that position. But if you are annihilating your marriage and your covenant by questioning the loyalty, you are part of the problem.
Yeah.
You are being used as a weapon to your spouse by the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's hard love. You know, they need to know that they're doing wrong. With all due respect, do you not think that they already know?
Yeah.
Do you not already think that they know?
Yeah.
And there's going to be those small times where they don't even realize they're doing it. Okay. Then have you at least tried to have a conversation without belittling them, without making them feel less than, without living in maybe your already hurt or preconceived idea? Like, check yourself before you try to check your spouse.
And again, you know, it's down to the, because you should know your person. You should know your spouse very well of this is going to build them up, this is going to crumble them.
Right.
And, you know, again, between knowing your spouse and just knowing, at least having an idea of the situation, you should know. I mean, I can look at you when you're having a bad day and I'm like, okay, I know if I do this, it's going to piss you off. if I do this, it'll help build you up, calm things down, and get you ready to like, okay, fine, let's go. We can do this.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so it's like, so it's knowing those things. And it's like, if you know, or if you're convinced that if, you know, tough love is the sole way to do it, you know, every now and then, it's like when I hear tough love and I hear some of this stuff come out, it's like I think back to one time when, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm sharing it. One of the times when I attempted suicide, and I looked at one of my friends afterwards, after I gotten out of the hospital and after I was, you know, quote unquote, okay, you know, and it was, she slapped me. She's like, what the heck is wrong with you? Why would you even do that?
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Not really a thing I would think to encourage somebody to better their mental health, but okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. So it is. So it's like, I hear, like, some of the times I hear this and I think back to, you know, like, I'm like an example like that, or, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, somebody is going through something and it's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? It's like, thanks, appreciate it. I didn't feel like trash enough as it was, and now you're.
Yeah. And you almost want to say, well, something is wrong with me.
Right.
Duh. Dork burger. Like, hello.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, why on earth would I go to some such an extreme?
Yeah.
Right? Because again, it's we. You're poking around on the buttons that are next to the buttons.
I am.
And it's like, it's that space. having addicts.
Yeah.
Having addictions. Having things. Being raised in Christianity. You and I talk about this a lot. And we talk to other people about it a lot, it seems. Or maybe it's just because we're passionate about it. But in the Word of God, it says anything that separates you from God, right, is sin. Just the things, right?
Yeah.
The things that you know better to do, but you don't do, like, that's sin. Like, it just is. And in the Word of God, it's like sin separates you from God. It just separates you from God. It doesn't, does he go through the Word of God? Like, at our talk, we had two totally different scriptures. Like, there was some in Ephesians and then there were some in Galatians.
Yeah.
And it was talking about some of the things that are considered strongholds or things that will trip you, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people would go, oh, well, infidelity and fornication and murder and the things of alike, these things are big sins.
Yeah.
But gossip and backbiting and, you know, like maybe even pride. Pride, we'll put pride kind of somewhere in the middle. Maybe it's a little bit more than that, but it's not by much.
Yeah.
Hi, that's sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And people will go, oh, well, you know, that's a big sin.
Yeah.
That's a big sin, Luke. You can't get past that big sin, buddy. Right? Kind of thing. And you and I are in the space of saying the redemptive grace of our God. The redemptive grace of our God.
Yeah.
That's ultimately, that's what brings people back to restoration. That's what brings people back to the goodness. That's what brings people back into that space. And I think when we start, I said it earlier, but I'm saying it again. Anything that separates you and tries to take you out, tries to divide you, there's nothing too big for our God. There's nothing too big for our God. I think of, you know, we were talking about porn. We're talking about all these different things. I think there's too many times where people want to give themselves an out. Well, this is just too big. For who? For you? For God? Because it's not too big for God.
Yeah.
This isn't something that he, oh no, like that was too, you know what? You did one too many times there. That just too many things. Just we can't do that anymore. And I know that I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that are there times where God says, okay, that's enough? Absolutely. Absolutely. When it comes to marriages and saying, you know, they just walked over me one too many times, or they just messed up one too many times, you know, where God is literally the only one that can tell you it's time to go, or this is now becoming destructive and it's going to become something that's going to cause problems. You and I have both come to the agreement that that is rarities.
Yes.
Though.
Yeah.
Rarities.
Yeah.
Because if both people at this point are willing to come up and say, okay, we need to fix this.
Yeah.
Like something needs to be done. And you keep seeing this person like, well, they keep saying they want to fix it, but they keep falling down.
Right.
They keep wanting to fix this, but they keep falling down. Okay, cool. Talked to some friends the other day. I said, all right, so say your spouse decides to go and do the very thing that God just restored and healed you guys from. What happens? What's your answer? Is it one too many times now that they've messed up?
Yeah.
Or is it something that God says, okay, hey, you know what? It's been a year. Fantastic. All right. You know what? I even told them your story. We're not starting from scratch. We're starting from experience.
Yeah.
We now have the opportunity to say, you know what? I messed up, but I'm going to get, it's like an alcoholic, right? Okay. I'm going to start from day one again, but this time I'm going to know that I have that ability. I can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call out and I'm going to cry out that much more and that much faster.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to start learning the things that might potentially be triggering and see if God can help me disengage those triggers so they don't trigger.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to start reaching out and doing the things, but it's like, bring your spouse along with you.
Please.
Don't let them do this by themselves. They can't.
No.
They can't. Yes, you can have God. Yes, you can say, well, they should know better. They should know the things. They should know where their loopholes are. Babe, God is restoring and delivering your mind on a daily.
Yeah, he is.
And there are days where we have no idea. You do really, really well. And then all of a sudden, what the hell?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah.
There is no warning.
Yeah.
There is no... Babe,
walking along, you fall in a hole.
So, like, what the freak, right?
Yeah.
Why on earth would I do?
Yeah.
Why would I do that to you?
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that to each other. Stop beating each other up when the other one might be weak in something.
Yeah.
How mean? Like, that's just mean. Like, who are you? Don't be that person.
Yeah.
You're the one that needs to figure out some things at that point.
Yeah.
It's not just your spouse that's struggling. You obviously need to fix something too. And that's where you guys have got to get to the throne together. You've got to ask God, give us wisdom.
Yeah.
Why am I responding to my spouse when they fall down? Why am I beating them when they fall down?
Yeah.
That's not okay.
No. And I think it's also, you know, again, I know a lot of people say it, you know, especially for Eve, for wives, you know, because in what is it, Second Genesis, and where they talk about, you know, the woman was formed from the rib of Adam, you know, and it's like, because again, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He started with all the animals and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, there's none of these are a suitable mate or a suitable helpmate for the man. Let's get him bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, a helpmate, a partner. And I know a lot of people have done like word studies on that. It's like they've come to the conclusion that when they say a helpmate, that's almost the same word that they use in other parts of scripture for the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
It's like,
it's exactly the same thing.
Genuinely right there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And yes, a lot of it's towards the wife, but it is, it's towards both.
Both. Yeah.
You are genuinely there to be this level of helpmate.
Yeah.
for each other.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, if you're not going to step up to that, if you're not going to choose that.
Yeah.
It's like, why did you get this? That's a whole nother.
That's a whole other podcast.
I know a whole lot of reasons why people get married. And a lot of people get married and thinking, oh, once we get married, it'll be all hearts and flowers.
Yeah.
And love will conquer all.
Yeah. That's
love
it.
Love of Jesus will conquer all.
Right. Right.
You know, so it is. I know nobody goes. I don't want to say nobody. I know a lot of people.
No absolutes.
No absolutes, yes. I know not a lot of people go into marriage expecting the bottom to drop out under them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It happens so often. And not in big ways.
Yeah.
You know, but life is almost never going to go the way you plan.
No.
You know?
I would say never.
Yeah.
That absolute I will use. It will never go the way that you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's the, when life doesn't go your way or doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go, it's like, what do you do? How do you react?
Right.
You know, when things at work, you know, fall apart, or you don't get that promotion, or you don't get the lateral transfer that you wanted, you know, your coworker's a jerk, your supervisor is a micromanager and he gets on your nerves constantly. You know, your kids won't stop crying, and you know, what do you do? What do you honestly do? You know, honestly, gut check yourself. Go to the mirror, eye check yourself on these things. What do you do in these situations?
Yeah.
And then follow that up quickly with, okay, now what if it's your spouse? What if it's your spouse that needs you? What if it's your spouse that's struggling? What if it's your spouse that is kind of lost in their head?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe your boss is your boss. Maybe your spouse is being very demanding.
Yeah.
Let's have an honest conversation, a calm conversation, please.
Yeah.
With, hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
What can I help you with?
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed you seem to be like, don't say it like this, but I noticed you're really high strung lately.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. You don't seem to be settled.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Seem to be settled.
Yeah.
Something seems to be vexing your spirit, right?
Yes.
Like, but sincerely, like,
yeah, it's true.
That was pretty good. That sounded like one of your books from way back there. But it is, but it's like you seem unsettled right now. What is going on? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Because we've even said on here, I do it, you do it, our daughter does it, our son not so much. But I notice when the three of us, any given time, when we feel like we're a little bit even the most remotely out of control, or things just seem to be too much, we do. I got bad hiccups.
Yeah,
one of two things. I've noticed we either kind of turtle into ourselves, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to stick my little head in, my little feet in, I'm going to go into my little shawl and nobody's going to see me and it's going to be fine. Or all of a sudden we're micromanaging each other and we're insisting that everybody does all the things to do the things. And it's like, and because we don't feel like we have control of whatever it is that we're apparently feeling like we need to have control of, or that's the problem. We've grabbed hold of control where God's like, I need you to relinquish this and trust me. You know, this isn't going the way that I think it needs to go. So all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Oh my gosh, what are we doing? Or the things. And that's why when I have the opportunity to talk to some of the wives, I look at them and I go, okay, cool. Not so much cool, but like, okay, no, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
What are you doing though? What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting here micromanaging your husband, or if you are so fixated on what he's struggling in or what he's not maybe doing completely right, what are you lacking in? Because that tells me that if you are focused on what it is that you need to be doing, then yes, you would be recognizing what's going on with him, but you would be responding him in a different manner.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be one of, what are you, and I'm shaking my finger, what are you doing to make yourself better? It would be more of a holding your hand out and saying, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
How can I maybe lighten this up a little bit to where you're not feeling the pressures and the stress of the world like you are? And then vice versa. Again, I know I'm speaking a lot to the women, but like this could go literally the exact way with the guys.
If
this is something you're dealing with your wife, it's, you know, again, postpartum depression, that's legit. You've got just fatigue. You have, our bodies are going, the hormones, right? All the things. If you were to look at me at any given time and be like, babe, like, you were joking with our marrieds the other day. Like, I got it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Calm down.
That's right.
Just relax. It's going to be fine. You're fine. Just relax. And it's like, if you were to do that to me, it'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
It'd either get me more ramped up or, okay, but how?
Right. Yeah.
Like, tell me how.
Yeah.
If you could help, I'd love to relax. Yeah. I would love for me not to feel like I'm literally itching from the inside out in my own skin.
Yeah.
If you could help me or just look at me and remind me it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I know a lot of men, a lot of their concern is what goes on outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of women, their main concerns are everything that happens within the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
with everybody,
right? Yeah. It's like I don't know how much I can stress everything.
Yes.
You know, because again, it's the, you know, do you get a job or not? What do we do with the kids? Are we raising the kids right? And you know.
Do we want to do the same thing on how to raise the children?
Right. You know, and so it is. It's you know, we're both of us are stressed. Both of us have quite the laundry list of things that occupy our time, occupy our minds, and it's down to what are our choices? What are our priorities? Where are we putting our energy? At the end of the day, are we coming together? At the beginning of the day, are we starting together? You know,
is God in the center of it all?
Yeah, you know, how involved is God in your marriage? You know,
sincerely,
yes. You know, and so I do it. That came out weird. So I do. It all comes down to, like. It is. It's like we keep saying it. It's the choices. It's the choices we make.
Mm-hmm.
It's the voices we listen to. How are we acting
mm-hmm.
on what we see, on what we hear?
Yeah.
You know, are we remembering, are we thinking better of our spouses than they deserve?
It's good.
In my mind, we should be.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's how we've been called by God.
Yeah.
We need to be doing that. You know, we need to be doing that for our spouses. We need to be doing that for our friends. We need to be doing that for people that we encounter out on the streets.
Yeah.
We should be thinking better of them than they do.
So fun.
And that they deserve.
Fun story. Yeah. Okay, you ready for this? This was just shared with me just the other day. Friend of mine, her and her spouse have gone through a really, really rough space. Okay. There was some infidelity and just some whatnots and so on and so forth. Smack in the middle of this, she was spending time with this one person, and they were just they're taking care of a service for her and doing all of the things. Well, while she is having this particular service taken care of, she's talking to this person. This person is asking about spouse, and she sees ring and all the things, and just, tell me about your husband, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, this would give her an absolute opportunity to kind of just absolutely annihilate him, and because they were in the thick of things and just getting things better, but just still in the thick of it, right? And she consciously made a point of speaking nothing but kind and good about him. She That's consciously huge. Made a point of finding things that are good and just and holy,
yeah,
that are of good report. She consciously made a point of not sharing the struggle that he was in, the sin that he was getting delivered and restored from, right? She was consciously saying, this is like, she's saying the good. So she said it wasn't within the last however long, the last time that she was there, she felt led to share what was going on based off of a conversation that they were having.
Yeah.
She told them, this person, what the husband had done, how she responded, what God did, and how he's restored them.
Yeah.
The person that she said it to said, I don't even think anything less of your husband because you've said nothing. You've told me nothing but the good.
Yeah.
As weighty as this could be.
Yeah.
It didn't change.
Yeah.
And I was like, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. Do we want to have people along the way that we can walk through the mud with? Okay. Yeah. Yes. We happen to be some of those couples that people will go, hey, tag, you're it. You can walk with us in this. Absolutely. Yeah. No problem. And we will not think less of you. Or different of you. We might smack you.
Yes.
Just
100%.
Like a little bit, not actual, but at least talk straight with you like this. What are we doing right now? What's going on with you that you can't seem to support your spouse right now? Hey, what's going on with you right now that you seem to be struggling, that you can't seem to shake this right now?
Yeah.
That's a totally different verbiage. That's a totally different mindset. I'm here to help accelerate and push you forward and up and out, but let's deal with the things that are causing this stuff to even be happening. Let's figure that out, right? Yeah. And so, but can you say on a regular verbatim, like, when somebody just willy-nilly, a stranger, or maybe somebody that's carrying your groceries, doing your hair, changing your oil, can our favorite thing, do you look married? Do you sound married? Are you speaking life? Are you slowly, little by little, destroying your loyalty by the words that you speak? Are you allowing the enemy to come in and take that thing and ultimately trying to destroy your covenant just by the things that you're saying? Now, if you're saying it to seek help, that's one thing. But you got to be careful because there's that fine line. There's that fine line that says, I'm seeking out help. And no, now I'm just going to just share my dirty laundry with you because I want to make sure that you know that I'm right and I'm the victim and I'm the one that got hurt here.
Yeah.
And I deserve better. And I'm going to tell you all the reasons why that I'm walking away from this person because X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Let me show you how I'm justified in my actions and my words.
Because here's the reality. You and I have been married before.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I'll call myself out. I was really, really good at talking myself out of my covenant and the loyalty that I had for this person.
Yeah.
Even yes, Holy Spirit ultimately told us to leave, but I destroyed it way before he told me to leave.
Yeah.
And so don't let the enemy win in those spaces and places. Even if that person, even if Holy Spirit does tell you to leave, I'll even challenge you even one more. Can you do it in a way that you're not absolutely annihilating this person?
No.
Can you do it in a way to where you can say, you know what? I love you. This apparently is not it.
No.
But it's not because we didn't try or because we gave the enemy a foothold to trip us up and then ultimately trip us out.
No.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life or death is in the power of the tongue, babe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I got you thinking, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's good, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's real good.
What are you thinking?
Just everything. Just my mind is going in 100 places. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why you and I are so intentional.
Yeah.
We try to be. Again, we're not perfect at this. But we're so intentional with our words with each other. We try to do our best to think before we speak.
Yeah.
Or even when I'm looking at you the other day and I'm saying, babe, just let me talk through my thought before we need marriage counseling.
Yeah.
You know, but just taking those two extra seconds to say, hey, okay.
Yeah.
My spouse is struggling.
No.
Like they're struggling. And it may seem very minute and very small to you, but obviously it's not to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even if it's not, but it's become something big, at least give them a second to remind them that I'm on your side. It's going to be okay. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. 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 I got nothing else. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
Yep. My brain is shot now.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Father, we ask that right now, in the name of Jesus, that you just come. You come to our listeners, Father, that you just come into those spaces and places that they need. I'm asking, Father, that you highlight the things that they may have heard, that they're seeing, that they don't just turn a blind eye to something, or they don't just say, well, that's just who I am and that's how it is. Father, I'm asking that you continue to just be with us, each one of these marriages, each one of these people that listen. Father, I'm asking that you just come in.
Yeah.
You come in like a flood and raise up a standard up against the enemy. And we ask that you just bring forth peace to be still. Direct their steps. Guard their hearts. Help them take their thoughts captive. And fill their mouths with love, words that cut like a two-edged sword, but with life, not death. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, guys. Have the best week.
Enjoy the journey.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.